echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 7, The Power of No-Code Development. In this episode, we'll take a look at how a no-code platform like AppSheet helps organizations improve processes, transform their business, and enables innovation everywhere. Hello, and thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more about the show, visit us online at thatdigitalshow.com and then subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can join us every week as we sit down with the top thought leaders in the world on digital transformation. My name is Chris Hood. I'm a digital strategist at Google Cloud. And today we're going to jump right into one of the fastest growing areas of digital transformation for businesses, no-code development. Joining me today to learn more about no-code development are two leaders from AppSheet. Welcome, Vikas Anand and Praveen Seshadri.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
How about if you share a little bit about yourselves?
Hey, Chris. Excited to be here today to chat all about no-code and AppSheet. I head product at Google with a focus on no-code applications.
Great. And Praveen?
Yeah, hi. I'm Praveen. I spent about a decade in computer science research, more on database systems. Then about a decade at Microsoft working on SQL Server and Bing. What feels like a decade working in a startup company called AppSheet, which I co-founded and which is sort of developed this idea around no code back when there wasn't a name for it. And we were recently acquired by Google and now part of Google and carrying it forward and expanding the no code mission.
I love that idea of before we had a name for it and now we sort of do with no code. But what is it? Let's define what no code really is.
I think for about 50 years, people have had the assumption that software gets built through imperative programs. And the reason for that is that back in the 50s and 60s, computing infrastructure was incredibly primitive. You had to write programs in this assembly language thing that was a way to translate the ideas you have into something a computer can understand, a bunch of little incremental steps. Even back then, there was debate between people who wanted to do logic programming, which was high-level programming, and the people who wanted to do this imperative low-level stuff. But the low-level stuff won because that was the only practical thing at the time. Now, 50 years later, we have incredibly powerful computers that can understand all kinds of things. Computers know how to play chess. They can learn entire new games by themselves and defeat world champions. Yet we're still programming in a form that requires us to take our ideas, hire expensive programmers, have them translate this into some incredibly arcane code that the system can run. And that's really what no-code challenges. No-code says, is it really not possible for a platform to understand what you're trying to build and build it for you and take away a lot of that arcane stuff that nobody really cares about?
I think of the sci-fi Star Trek vision where I can just tell the computer what I want it to do and it will create this program for me. But some will also argue that there still is some coding involved right now. So is there really a difference between no code or low code, or is it really all the same?
You know, what's interesting is when you start describing low code, it starts from talking about, hey, can I extend an application by inserting some logic or writing a script or expanding the software that has been written by some software programmers, if you will. And I think it's unbounded at the moment because a lot of platforms claim low code, but it's not like you're getting 80% of low code and things with no code, and then you're doing 20% with low code. The definition is pretty varying. What no code is trying to challenge is that specific definition itself, where no code is now expanding to solve more and more sophisticated problems without requiring the need to inject a lot of code as a part of the definition of the process that you're writing.
Chris, I think your original framing of the question was interesting because it's in the framing of the question and it reflects basically the biases we have all been born and bred with, right? You said, man, that sounds like science fiction. Well, let me tell you this. We live in a world where does it sound like science fiction that we can talk to a car and say, hey, drive me to this place and it's a self-driving car that takes you there? Actually, even bigger science fiction like a decade ago, but it isn't anymore. In sort of as a parallel, the no-code vision, if you wish, is the equivalent of a self-driving car. It's a self-driving application platform. To the extent you can describe to it where you want to go, and it drives you there, That's a no-code platform. Low-code, on the other hand, is basically a low-pollution car. It's still a car. It's still runs on gas. Still has a driver. And maybe they got squeezed out like, I don't know, 5% efficiency improvement. And they're like, yeah, whoopee, you got like extra 5%. It's lower gas consumption. But no-code really sort of is a paradigm shift, if you wish. And I know it's a sort of hackneyed term. It says, it's like an electric car that takes you to your destination and you don't need to know how to drive. You don't need the rules of the road and everything's more efficient.
So I go to the low-code, no-code car dealership and I'm asking the sales guy, which one should I pick? Is this really all just sales gimmicks?
This is a really important question. It turns out in our world, there's about 10 million software engineers, people who know how to write code. There is more than 2 billion people who know how to use computers and phones. They're smart people. They have ideas. They know what these things are capable of doing. But they don't have the secret language and years of training and the time to spend like a year to translate an idea into something these devices should do for them. So what we're really doing is we're enabling those 2 billion plus people to be able to use these computers to generate, to automate what they do, which is what applications and automation is, to make their lives better, make their businesses work more efficiently, and to translate their ideas into things that could work. That's sort of the analogy I prefer to your sort of sales analogy, if you wish.
I've been in a lot of organizations where you do have these really great, genuine ideas, but for one reason or another, the software development team is busy, they're overwhelmed, they have other priorities. And how do you get those ideas, these solid business transformational ideas, into the hands of their customers when you don't actually know how to code?
It's a struggle, and it's a particular struggle for everybody except the best resource businesses. So Mark Andreessen famously said software is eating the world. I mean, he said this about almost a decade ago now. And that's true in every line of business. Those that enhance their operations with software, and now machine learning and all of the advanced technologies are the ones that are winning. But this sort of amplifies the complexity of writing, of using technology and writing software and so on, is amplifying the gap between the haves and the have-nots in the business world. And an approach like no-code, which really basically says, no, your competition is not on skills and ability to hire these ultra-expensive software engineers, and there's very few of them in the world anyway, but rather it's a competition of ideas. That's what it levels the playing field, allows people to compete with ideas, and allows the best ideas to emerge.
Allowing businesses to be able to innovate faster or in new ways by expanding the breadth of who can innovate, I think is very powerful. Because what aspects of AppSheet or no code helps in this innovation process?
I think our mission really aligns with how customers want to get their ideas into a solution quickly in today's times. The challenge today is like never before, and everyone is trying to figure out how they can resolve their customer experience, how they can actually help create new channels, how can they reach new revenue opportunities. And what we are trying to do is really trying to help them get their ideas from business to solutions very quickly. And that's what our mission is. And I think Praveen very eloquently laid out the mass outreach we can have. Today, an electric car is available for everyone. And the good news is that everyone is contributing to the learning algorithm of making things efficient. Imagine if you can get from 10 million to 2 billion people using a solution to a technology to build out applications, and it can be contributed back, the efficiencies at scale that you can get to. So AppSheet is really focused on one thing, which is to help take an idea and deliver an app. That's the basic fundamental principle of AppSheet. Praveen, the CEO of the company, has been basically focus of the team with this principle in mind. I mean, what has this been now? 6 years now? 7 years?
Oh, don't remind me, Vikas. Even longer.
And it's good to see that vision getting realized in the product, where you can point to a source of data and from there ideate quickly and have an app available to solve a problem. And that's the power of the platform.
The idea of saying, I want to take this data, I have an idea, and I want to make something out of it, is very powerful. And it seems to me as if it's a way for businesses really to begin looking at their employees, especially the technical employees that may not have a development background. Even systems and processes seem like they can be impacted or benefit from this concept of no code. How do we see that today materializing with some of the businesses we've talked to.
When I think about no-code today, it isn't that this is the way we thought about it at the start. We have arrived here because of the customers who have engaged with us on the platform. And so that has been really interesting to see. What we found is that at least in the early days, well before there was a name for this no-code app platforms and so on, you'd find somebody who discovered our product and they'd say, hey, I want to be able to do these things with it. And they'd try doing those things and maybe they got halfway there. And the product at the time was very immature and allowed them to maybe build a simple mobile app, but didn't let them do something more complicated they wanted to do. And most of us, when we try out something and it doesn't meet our needs, we basically are like, eh, done. I've got better things to do. Move on. Yet what we found is that those folks would come back to us and say, hey, this thing's broken. This thing doesn't do yet what I needed to do. Go fix them because I really, really want to do this. And whether it was a person in a sales team, person running some construction site, a nonprofit, teachers. We had one person, I think 2016, who ran restaurants in Iraq, in Baghdad. And in July, I got an email from this person saying, hey, I'm trying to do this app that keeps track of, I don't know, some supplies across the restaurants and something was not working the way he wanted. Can you figure out how do I do this? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know, it's 120 degrees in Baghdad in July, you know, and Baghdad is a place with other stuff happening. But here's this person trying to keep running his restaurant, which is his main business. But he's got all these sophisticated ideas of the apps he wants to build. And that was like a mind-blowing, amazing thing to recognize is there's so many driven, smart people in every kind of business.
The other interesting example, just going back recently, is of a prop maker in the UK who makes props for stages and for dramas and for other things. He got a call one day, a bunch of folks who wanted to help in the current situation with COVID. They started using the 3D printer to actually print masks. And the whole aspect about manufacturing, supplying inventory was managed through AppSheet apps. So somebody who you would hardly expect to be building apps traditionally picked up AppSheet and actually used that platform to not only connect the requirement and actually deliver on the mask, but also created this as a mass movement from 100 people to 7,000 people who became a part of this movement in terms of delivering masks to people who required them. And that's the kind of diversity that we see in the user base. And that's the most inspiring thing when we look at it is it's not just folks who are trying to solve their business needs, like the field service manager, the supervisor on the manufacturing floor, or some of the IT folks who are leveraging AppSheet for some governed set of use cases. But then on the other side of the fence, NGOs, the example of the restaurateur in Iraq, or this prop maker in the UK who described how they used AppSheet to make masks to help in the current situation. So we have a sense of pride with how the product has been able to inspire people to use AppSheet, learn quickly, and actually build solutions to be helpful in the situations they are in.
Let me just sort of build upon what Vikas just said. I think there are really distinct phases in this market. There was an initial phase where everybody who adopted a no-code platform was really a person who was an innovator or risk taker in their own company. It was completely bottom-up. They had no mandate from central IT or from their CTO saying, do this thing. It was not that businesses were directing them to do stuff. It's the person who was young, fresh out of school, comes into a company and frustrated the amount of paper being processed. Or it's a person who's been there in the company for a while, but frustrated and then finally discovers that, hey, there's a way that we can make these things better. Or occasionally it was somebody managing a team. So we've had quite a few of these where somebody calls us on Monday or sends an email or something saying, hey, I'm working on this app. My boss built it over the weekend and has handed it off to me. Right? So almost always it's somebody looking out who's got that self-motivation to make things better. Now we're sort of getting into phase two where Forrester, like this analyst firm, writes, they've got a Forrester Wave, which is a report about no-code platforms and who's a leader and who's not. And then this starts to permeate into the way central IT departments and CTOs think. They say, oh, there's this new thing. We got to like get on that wave. And so now we see larger companies saying, we know what no-code platforms are. Tell us what you got. And they want to start making this something that drives innovation in their companies. So truth be told, innovation is really coming from the people. These platforms are just sort of allowing that to happen.
Yeah, innovation from the people totally makes sense. And I think it's something that most businesses can obviously relate to. And we've seen no code clearly can help a business become more innovative. But have we also seen the technology teams taking advantage of no-code in some different ways?
It's a great question. I'd say it's all a matter of waves. So in the sort of first wave is really the line of business folks who were unable to get things done. Now they can get some things done themselves. It gets the line of business management. Now central IT has seen enough of this that they say, hey, I need to bless this, bless the platform, need to make sure that I can govern it so that bad stuff doesn't happen while we still allow this to happen. So we're sort of in that phase right now of IT blessing things and it becoming sort of more mainstream. We're seeing the early stages of a different wave, where a technical person who says, hey, I know I can write code, but this platform is fine for me to do some of the things that it will get me there 100 times faster. It'll get me there more reliably. I don't have to deal with all the craziness of Android versus iOS versus whatever. This will just handle all the stuff for me. So we're seeing that initial wave. What we're not yet seeing, but I'll happily predict a few years out, is that a lot of the code that skilled engineers write today may not need to be written at all. The no-code platforms are not quite ready for that yet, but we will be ready at some point soon where it will be more scalable, more secure, more compliant to use a no-code platform than to write the code yourself. Every 20 lines of code's got a bug in it. That's the average. So it's going to make a lot of sense to use a no-code platform wherever you can versus try to write custom code. And there's got to be good justification. So that's sort of, if you look 5 years out, you're going to do a lot of justification that you're going to write custom code versus use something that can do it in a standard way.
Just to add to what Praveen said, I think in the second wave where we're seeing more of IT coming in terms of the governed access to building no-code applications, it's an interesting set of personas who are coming into the process, if you will. They are product managers who actually want to ideate and quickly think through and deliver what they want to bring to their consumers, whether it's internal customers or external customers. There are folks who are really in charge of APIs in their company, the center of excellence, who are limited by the number of resources available to actually build applications. And they want to help business in terms of ideating quickly and solving for their use cases because business actually understands the process better. So we're seeing really enhanced interest from IT to support a number of these personas to be successful in their roles. And AppSheet is a really interesting tool in that space for those set of users to ideate quickly with APIs and actually really form their ideas into solutions, if you will. The last thing I want to say is I think I agree with Praveen's prediction. Today, we're already seeing this with self-driven cars. I think the self-driven solution development and app development is going to be the game changer for the future.
So I like that perspective on the future. If we were to also put on our Star Trek sci-fi helmet again, what do we see no-code looking like in, say, 5 years?
It's a mix. There's this umbrella term of no-code platforms, but they mean different things to different people. Who wants to be a high-code platform at this point in time, right? So there's one class of platforms that are really about, hey, I got a bunch of widgets, let me drag them onto screens and draw lines between them, flows, and so on. It is no-code in that sort of abstract solution building that's been around for a while. It's been around since like the 80s and 90s. There's 4GL builders and so on. Those continue to exist. The sort of emerging wave of platforms, and Vikas mentioned our platform AppSheet is one of them, tend to be more driven by data and schema and logic and less about putting UI widgets on screens. And they have greater potential because by understanding the schema, there's actually deeper semantics about the application. So these systems involve still some amount of tech savviness. In other words, the people who succeed the most with today's systems are also the people who are somewhat open to saying, hey, let me play with the new technology. I may not be a programmer, but I embrace new technology. I'm really comfortable with spreadsheets. I can write formulas, whatever. These are the folks who tend to be successful, more successful with today's no-code technology as it stands. So is a spreadsheet a no-code platform? Yeah. And so, you know, it's just no-code platform of the 90s and you know, a couple of decades ago, and there's more modern versions. Where we're headed, what Vikas sort of mentioned, is you combine that with how much advances have happened with machine learning and AI, that now there's the potential for platforms to learn what you're trying to do, learn from the people who are doing stuff, and make it easier for the next folks to come along. And that's what transforms things that sound like, hey, I put on my Star Trek hat, to, oh yeah, of course it can do that. And that's exactly what has made things like Siri or Alexa or Google Now work. And it's exactly what makes a self-driving car work. And it's basically what's going to make the self-driving no-code platform work.
So every episode, we are presented with a question from our audience, and we call it the question of the day. Okay, so here's our question of the day. I'm a project manager leading our digital transformation initiative and believe no code can help. How do I prove to my CEO that AppSheet can help us in our digital transformation journey?
Yeah, Chris, that's a great question. I think that's a question which is pretty much comes to a lot of our users, and they have to take forward to their managers or their CEOs and others, right? I think the coolest thing about AppSheet is that you can take an idea to an outcome literally instantly. You start thinking of an idea on Friday, and by Monday, you actually have the solution at hand. So you can actually show the outcome to the CEO or to the manager in front of you who is a decision maker, and you can get quick feedback or actually prove that out very quickly to them. More importantly, as a user, you can also fail fast and learn fast. And that's the beauty of the solution. From an idea to an outcome, and you're ready to have that business meeting with your CEO or your manager to prove the value of the idea that you have and how it can bring success to your digital transformation project.
There are proof and results. So I guess you're right. If I could show somebody you have an idea and I could show it to you the next day, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. It's one of the things that we found actually with most of our customers is the first demonstration of something working is an aha moment. Because people have never seen that before. Usually sit in long meetings, debate budgets, and maybe 6 months later, they may get something. The second thing is, once some of the people see that, they got a lot of feedback about all the things it should do rather than what it does. And the second meeting is when the buy-in happens. Because the second meeting, they say, oh, well, okay, take all this feedback. When can you bring that back? And when the person who's the advocate, person building it, says, how about tomorrow? That's an amazing thing, because by tomorrow or maybe a few days later, they've made the changes. They've shared it with a bunch of colleagues who tried the stuff out. So it's just about 100 times faster than other processes. It's got that agility, which increases the likelihood you actually transform your business digitally versus you have an initiative. The tricky part turns out to be after that, because people are like, okay, hey, this looks like it's viable, it's feasible, and so on. The tricky part actually today in today's environment, is it going to be compliant? Is it secure? Because there's a heightened focus these days on privacy and security and so on, and rightly so. IT has been worried for a while about this thing called shadow IT, which is, oh my God, what happens if people go off and build their own stuff? Because who's responsible for all those compliance and security and so on? So shadow IT is a term, you know, IT conferences, IT directors talk about shadow IT and the evils of it. And it's absolutely true. But it's like trying to stop the tide coming in, right? In a way, actually, people are only starting to understand that no code actually shines this bright light that eliminates the shadows in shadow IT, because all the stuff being built with no code can be reasoned about. In other words, a platform can understand what the no code applications are doing and say, ah, that one's compliant and this one's not. You can define policies that say this is what's allowed and what's not allowed. So you can actually govern a lot of people building stuff versus limiting what people build because you're worried about what it might do.
Yes, I've been there. As I mentioned, I worked in various IT organizations and the concept of shadow IT was everywhere. And the concept of democratizing this so that people can have that flexibility, but still within the framework and still within the governance that has been dictated maybe by IT becomes a very, very powerful story.
Right. Indeed. I mean, I like analogies. If I dial back to the late 90s, there was all this worry about e-commerce. It seemed to be the wave, but everybody was worried about, but my God, can I put my credit cards on the internet because they'd be stolen and so on. But the sort of this gravitational force of this ease of doing e-commerce, you cannot deny that force. So what the technology does is it has to basically say, hey, but we can make that secure. And that's the same thing that's in this process of happening with no-code platforms as well. It's impossible to deny that capability to the 2 billion people who can create software. So what you got to do is allow that to happen in a compliant way.
Besides the compliant, I think the important thing for IT here is also that they can get to their outcomes for business much faster. The pivot is going to happen is there'll be equal participation with even developers using no code to ideate and deliver the outcomes faster, especially with the digital transformation journey which an organization is running through. I think there's this partnership and is going to just continue to grow pretty rapidly in the near future.
And I think that's a great place for us to end the conversation. Once again, thank you, Praveen. Thank you, Vikas. I appreciate your time and your insights. It was a great conversation.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Chris.
And thanks to all of you who are listening. If you are interested in learning more about AppSheet and how to begin developing a free mobile app today, visit appsheet.com. Or you can learn more about AppSheet and this show by visiting our website at thatdigitalshow.com. If you have questions, comments, or ideas, connect with us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another digital transformation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.